Good morning, Rabbi Sai. As always, our limud of Chofetz Chaim is as a schus refuah for Yosef Dov ben Chai lebesoch shalchay liyisrael. They still have a refuah shleima b'korov. Chofetz Chaim says in the final paragraph of Hilchos Rechilus, Klal Aleph, it says as follows, that the Torah does not say anywhere that you may not speak Lashon Hara. The Torah says, Loiselech Rochel. Loiselech Rochel means that you should not be a gossip monger. You should not be someone who goes around spreading gossip. But Lav Dafka, speaking gossip. It's spreading gossip. Says the Chofetz Chaim, it doesn't make any difference whether you say it, or whether or not you text it, or whether or not you write it, or whether or not you forward a message, or you forward a WhatsApp, or you forward a picture, or whatever it is that the way that you're spreading is loiselech rochel ba'amecho. In the Chofetz Chaim's times, all he had really was, I suppose there were telephones in those days, but that would be speaking. But apart from speaking and writing, he didn't have any other alternatives. Today we have many other ways. And think about it this way as well, which is that you're not only not allowed to spread Lashon Hara or Rechilos by other methods other than speaking, but the Mekabel Lashon Hara, the person who reads it, the person who receives that WhatsApp, the person who receives that message and reads the Lashon Hara and is Mekabel the Lashon Hara, he's a Mekabel Lashon Hara, whether or not it happens to be spoken to him, or whether or not it was sent some other way.
You're not allowed to read any newspaper.
Oh, so that's why the next chapter of Chofetz Chaim is going to be about whether or not there's Lashon Hara in things which are already public knowledge.
But how can you accept Lashon Hara if you can't believe it? How do you know how to process it? Sometimes we need to hear it.
So we've got the general
clause. Let's say it's an act of responsibility. I need to listen to it and then forget it.
So we've got the clause that we've had throughout Hilchos Lashon Hara, which is that when you hear Lashon Hara, which might affect you, then you can't believe it to the extent that you believe the Lashon Hara, but you can believe it to the extent of protecting yourself. To protect yourself from harm, if somebody comes and tells you that somebody is planning to kill you, this was a story we learnt about Gedaliah ben Achikom. Gedaliah was told that Ishmael ben Nesanya, I think his name was plotting to kill him.
So you straight away take the action.
Then you take action to protect yourself. Yes. Again, if somebody
if or whatever it is, but make sure that you don't just take it as
if somebody tells tells you that there are scammers around. And they're planning to take your money.
Act
on it, but don't believe it.
Don't believe it or talk about it.
I can protect myself just in case. Just in case, maybe it's true. I can do whatever I need to do in order to protect myself. But I'm not actually allowed to believe that particular thing about that particular person. Interesting. Pity Charlie isn't here, because Charlie's always going on about there's no difference between the truth and the whole truth, and we've had this discussion. Yeah, and I was thinking, talk about the whole truth. Just talk about the halachas we learnt recently, right? Somebody could go around town saying Yanki Weizenbaum gives a shiur before Torah away on Hilchos Lashon Hara, and he paskened b'shem the Chofetz Chaim that it's mutter to speak lies. Yeah, it's mutter to tell lies on today's halacha. Yeah, we said in order to avoid speaking Rechilus, if you have to avoid speaking Rechilus, you've got no other way, then the Chofetz Chaim said you're allowed to tell a fib. And similarly, so you could just take it out of context and say the Chofetz Chaim says you're allowed to tell lies. Similarly, today I said the Chofetz Chaim does not say anywhere that you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara. Or at least the Torah doesn't say that you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to spread Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to be a gossip monger. And therefore, it doesn't make any difference which particular form of communication you use. Now, next chapter, Avadya, is going to be about things which are already in the public field, things which everybody else knows. That WhatsApp that came to you was probably sent to a few thousand people in one go, and it's going around the world, and everybody's seen it already. So the idea, the din of apet losa, which we learned in Hilchos Lashon Hara, and we're going to have to learn again in Rechilus, is to understand when is it mutter for me to be mekabel Lashon Hara and even to spread Lashon Hara if it's something that everybody knows anyway. So your argument about is it mutter to read a newspaper, I'm not giving any heterim for reading a newspaper, and I'm sure the newspaper you're talking about is a kosher newspaper with nothing in it that could be possibly objectionable, but it may have reports in the paper about a Yid who has done something bad, a Yid who's done some Avera, a Yid who's done some Avla, a Yid who's done something bad, and if in that newspaper it says so, but the newspaper's published thousands of copies, well, that we're going to learn about Apeit Losa, that is the next chapter, Klal Beis. In fact, we're in the last sif of Klal Aleph. Klal Beis starts off, Bechlal Zeh Yevua Hadin, Da'apeit Losa Le'in Yerichilus, the din of in front of three people, the din of Apeit Losa, Legaba Rechilus, and other things. So immediately the Chofetz Chaim is going to jump on this and to say, you can't spread Lashon Hara, you can't spread Lashon Hara whether it's by speaking or writing or any other communication methods. But on the other hand, have a look at the next chapter, and we'll start it now because our speaker's not yet here. Is that Lashon Hara?
The truth is
everybody who's in here knows that anyway. Presumably, so there's more than three of you, and we're broadcasting to the whole world, so everybody knows that we're running late for some reason. Yeah, so therefore, I don't think there'll be an Apeit Losa to say that the speaker's thing. By the way, talking about being Dol Nechavskos, we had a situation last week which happens occasionally when the speaker didn't turn up. When the speaker didn't turn up. And then some people said he had been here and he'd been having a coffee and then he disappeared, etc., etc. And it turned out, and we all said, oh, and we had to fill in and, you know, pad through for the half an hour to keep the program going. And I mentioned a couple of times during the work, you know, where's the speaker? He was here, he wasn't here, he's supposed to be here, etc. And, you could put two and two together, look at the poster, and you know that Ploini, the speaker, wasn't here when he was supposed to be. And what had happened was that the Ploini, the speaker, speaks regularly in Manchester, lives in Manchester, comes from Manchester, and assumed that the program is at 9:10, the same as it is in Manchester. He didn't realise that we start at 8:30. So he was here, actually. He davened here in the morning. He was here long before Torah away. He was having a coffee. And then wherever it was, he went in order to prepare himself for the Shia. By the time he got here, we were long done.
When he came back, it was too late.
When he came back, it was too late. So
we were working. Frankly, they don't work.
What? Okay, that's a pejorative statement. That in any event, they start later there, and therefore, in fact, although we were suspecting that a speaker who had taken upon himself to speak here in this what's called had not turned up or had turned up late. Had in fact turned up in good faith, prepared to give a shir, but didn't realize what time we give the shir. Okay, I'll cop on him. It's just another case of Don Lechavskus. I mean, we should have been Don Lechavskus anyway, that there'd been some unavoidable delay, that he'd been caught at the last minute, whatever it was, but Lemaisa, there was a very, very good, plausible reason, and it wasn't so far-fetched to believe that there was nothing wrong with with his late arrival.
Started the Torahway Northwest London Tuesday, Dalad Cheshvan, 5th of November, Rabbi Daniel Lo Shlita Eruvin explained. Part 1, what is an Eruv? This week's Torah is sponsored and called L'Shom Shalachinu Yoshfei Eretz Yisrael 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 L'Shom
What is an Eruv? And what are its halachas? Beis Hashem, happy to go through this deep and beautiful and important inyan for as long as you'll have me speaking about it. We are, of course, dealing with the malocha of Hoitzor. As the Mishnah says in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel Medalef, in the Mishnah that deals with the Lamed Tes malochas, one, in fact, it's the last malocha spoken about in that Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamoitzi meirushus lirushus chayiv. Anyone who takes an object from one rishus into another rishus, that is chilul Shabbos. That is a malocha of Shabbos. Therefore, in the discussion of this malocha of hamoitzi meirushus lirushus, we need to understand what rishuos are we speaking about. Obviously, we are speaking about Mirushus Hayochid, Lirushus Horabim, or vice versa, Mirushus Horabim, Lirushus Hayochid. Interestingly, the Mishnah on Shabbos, that based on Madalif, doesn't use the words Mirushus Horabim, Mirushus Hayochid. In that Mishnah that I'm sure you've learned many times, you have the Oni, Bachut, the Balabayas, Bechnim, and the discussion of the Issa that they're doing, the Mishnah speaks about Poshet Yodoi, Bifnim or Lachutz. There's no mention of Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim. The Mishnah that speaks about Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim is actually in the beginning of Perek HaZorik, the 11th Perek of Shabbos, of Tzadi Vov and Madalif. There it says that if you're Zorik, Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim, you are Chayev. Either way, in our discussion, we're going to need to understand what is and what are the characteristics, what is the definition. How does one Rishus become a Rishus HaYochid? How does a Rishus become a Rishus HaRabim? We're also going to need to understand in detail how many walls, how many mechitzas does a Rishus HaYochid require to be a Rishus HaYochid? What is the halacha if there are gaps in those walls? If those walls are not totally contiguous. So, what's the halacha there? How big are the gaps allowed to be? What about the halacha of Tzuras HaPesach? As you know, dealing with Erevin, you see lots of strings and wires going all across roads, areas. That is a Tzuras HaPesach. In other words, you have the picture or the similarity, the looking like a Pesach. You have two doorposts, two poles, and a string going across the top. That is supposed to look like a doorway. Now that, if we're using it for Erevin, clearly has the halacha in some way as of a mechitza. Now, is it a total mechitza? Is it half a mechitza? All this we are going to need to understand. Another thing we're going to need to understand is that if I am in a Rishus HaRabim and I build a house in Rishus HaRabim, now that house is called a Rishus HaYochid? Obviously, you're allowed to build a house in Rishus HaRabim. However, the Gemara says in Erevin Daf Vov that you cannot make an Eruv Rishus HaRabim. We're going to have to understand that more in detail. But if an Eruv is a four-walled structure, then why am I allowed to make a house in Rishus HaRabim and I'm not allowed to make an Eruv in Rishus HaRabim? If our starting definition of Eruv is essentially a four-walled Rishus HaYochid.
How can you make a house?
By buying some of it. Right. But buying it won't help you for... Actually, it will help you for Erevin also. We're also going to need to understand some of the famous names that go around when we discuss the halachas of Erevin, Rav Moshe Feinstein's Shita, Rav Chaznish's Shita, all this, Be'ez Hashem, we'll try and understand. First, what is the Makor? Since we're speaking about Meleches HaYitzah, what is the Makor that Hoytzah is with Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim? So the Makor is the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Vamud Beis. The Gemara says in Shabbos, the Gemara says that in Parshas Vayakel, the Gemara says that when Klal Yisrael were bringing all the objects and items for the construction of the Mishkan, at some point Moshe Rabbeinu said, stop bringing these items. Stop bringing it. The Aviru Kol B'Machane, an announcement went out in Machane Yisrael and said, stop bringing these items. Now the Gemara says this was talking on Shabbos. So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, since it's Shabbos, don't bring these objects anymore from Machane Yisrael. Says Rashi, that people were bringing from inside their own tents, i.e. Rishus HaYochid, into Machane Leviyah, into a public area, i.e. Rishus HaRabim. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, since it's Shabbos, you cannot bring from your Oyalim into the Machane Leviya. You can't bring from Shusayochid to a Shusan Rabin. That is the Makor the Gemara brings for this Melocha. Says the Gemara, maybe it was just enough. Maybe there was enough material already for the Mishkan. Says the Gemara, we learn from a Gezeirah Shavah from Yom Kippur that it was because of Shabbos. That's a Masorah the Gemara and Chazal have, that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu said that don't bring any more was not just because it was enough, it was also because it was osa to do, because that people are bringing things from Sayokrit into Shusarabit. So what is an Eruv? What is an Eruv? So Midiraisa, there are three Rishuyos. Three types of Rishuyos. What's a Rishus? A category of place. Midiraisa, there are three kinds of places, three kinds of Rishuyos. We have a Rishus Hayochid, which very broadly means an area with walls. And you have a Rishus Harabim, which very broadly means a public domain. Now, the malocha of Hoitzah is to transfer an object from one domain into the other. Of course, within Mishus Rabim also, if you pick up an object and you move it outside of Dalet Amos, that's also the malocha of Hoitzah. There's another area also, and here's where things start to get subtle, there's another area also which is neither Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim. It's an area that hasn't got a name. It's an area without any halachas. It's a bare area, which is neither Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim. There are specific criteria you need to be a Rishus HaYochid, let's say walls, and there are specific criteria you need to be Rishus HaRabim. Let's say it needs to be 16 amos wide. Now, if you have neither of these characteristics, you are neither. And you are not considered a rishus in Shabbos definitions. Therefore, the question is begged, what are you allowed to do in this third category of rishus? Are you allowed to carry? Not allowed to carry? So of course the answer is, you're allowed to carry. This Rishus, which is neither Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, is completely devoid of any halachas regarding the Melacha of Hoitzah. Because the Melacha of Hoitzah is taking from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. If you're neither one of those things, then you're not involved in this Melacha. Not only that, not only can you carry within this Rishus, you're also allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochid into this Rishus, and from Rishus HaRabim into this Rishus, because it's not a Rishus. And the Melacha of Hoitzah is to carry from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. This is going to be a very important observation as we go forward. So again, three kinds of Rishus, or lack of Rishus, on a Deraisa level. Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, and let's call it, for now, a Mokum Patur. A mokum devoid of any halachas. Now let's start talking about gezeiras. The first gezeira of Chazal is Carmelis. Chazal invented a new kind of rishus called Carmelis. Now what is a Carmelis? The Gemara speaks about it on Shabbos, Daf Vav and Madalif. A Carmelis is an area without any walls, which doesn't have the necessary criteria, characteristics to be a true Rishus HaRabim. Let's say, for the moment, that it's not busy enough, but is similar to the Rishus HaRabim, in that it hasn't got any mechitzas, in that it's an open place. And since this area is similar to Rishus HaRabim, Chazal gave it dinim of Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, you can't carry Arba Amos in this Rishus, and you can't carry from Rishus HaYochid into Carmelis. That is the basic institution of Carmelis. So now, on a Lemaisa level, we're up to four Rishuyos. We're up to Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim. We've added Carmelis, which is an area without mechitzas, which is similar to Rishus HaRabim. It looks like Rishus HaRabim. And we still have our original third type of Rishus called a Mokum Ptur. Now this Rishus is not similar enough to Rishus HaRabim to have the dinim of Karmelis, and therefore remains as it was. It remains a Mokum Ptur, a Mokum, a place devoid of any dinim.
What is a park? Or a forest?
Depends whether it has walls or not. A basic forest would be, let's say if it hasn't got walls, would be a Karmelis. Because it's not, by virtue of its difficult conditions to travel, it wouldn't be busy enough to be Rishus HaRabim. But in the fact, because it hasn't got walls, it's similar to Rishus HaRabim, and therefore have the dinim of a Karmelis. That would be the normative. That's a total Rishus HaYochid. A park with a fence around it is a total Rishus HaYochid. On a halakhic level, it's exactly the same as your house. Yeah.
So Chazal goes around the Karmelis like a Rishus HaRabim.
Yes.
So can you carry it from Rishus HaRabim to Karmelis?
Oh, very good. We'll have to get into that. Yeah. So, knowing what we know, let's attempt a working definition, a beginning definition of what an Erev is. What is an Erev? So an Erev is where you have a Rishus or Rabin or Karmelis. Just put on the side what I said before, that you can't make an Erev in Rishus or Rabin. Let's put that on the side. But before that, let me just clarify a very obvious point. You're allowed to be metaltel in Rishus HaYochid, right? In any Rishus HaYochid, for the meantime, until my next point, you're allowed to be metaltel in Rishus HaYochid. Right? Rishus HaYochid is a place with walls, keeping it very, very vague at the moment. How many walls we'll get into later? Rishus HaYochid, you're allowed to be metaltel in. There's no din of carrying four amos in Rishus HaYochid. In the Rishus HaRabim, there is. In the Karmelis, there is. Now, what is the basic definition of an Erev, therefore? The basic definition of an Erev is taking a Rishus HaRabim, or a Karmelis, and turning that into a Rishus HaYochid. That is what an Erev is. And that definition will remain also the end of our discussion. How do you do that? You turn a Rishus HaRabim or a Karmelis into a Rishus HaYochid through the construction of walls. These walls will either be actual walls made out of bricks and mortar, or there'll be the second category of wall, which we mentioned, which is a Turas HaPesach. Turas HaPesach also has, in some ways, the halacha of a wall. So you will enclose an area, it doesn't matter how big, with walls or Turas HaPesach. And what you have done is you've turned this area that was devoid of walls into having walls. And therefore this area changed from being Rishus HaRabim or a Karmelis and turned into Rishus HaYochid. And now you can carry in this Rishus. There is a precedent for turning even a city into a Rishus HaYochid. The Gemara says, again, keeping it very vague, that Yushalayim, of course, when the Gemara speaks about Yushalayim, it's talking about what we know more or less today as the old city. Yushalayim was Rishus HaYochid. And there were, of course, thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of people living in Yushalayim. I have to see exactly the precise number as we go forward, but the Gemara says that you could turn all of Yushalayim into Rishus HaYochid. The primary reason for that, of course, is because they had walls. So that is Gezeira number one that we've discussed, that an area that looked like Rishus HaRabim, Chazal gave the dinim of Rishus HaRabim, that is Karmelis. And we've spoken about the working definition of what an Erev is. So now it's time for Gezeira number two. Gezeira number two is an absolutely riveting Gezeira. This Gezeira is called Erev Chatzeros. The din of Erev Chatzeros. just need the Rambam. Here we go. So, just to get us started, what very, very broadly is the institution of Erev Chatzeros? It's as opposed to your house, where you are the sole owner, or you and your family share your house, as opposed to a house where you are the sole owner. There's only one owner of a house. Erev Chatzeros is talking about when there is an area which has multiple owners. And Chazal said, an area that has multiple owners, you're not allowed to carry from your own house, which is singly owned, into an area that has multiple owners. That is the basic tzura, the basic halacha of Erev Chatzeros.
Can I just ask, is it multiple owners or multiple users, residents, etc.? Does it have to be multiple owners? And has the courtyard got to be literally owned by all these people? Or could one own it and give the right to all the other people to use it as it lends to the chutz?
Yeah, owners.
Owners.
Now, the definition of owners is not the same, necessarily the same definition as in Choshen Mishpat. Right. But the basic definition stems from ownership. Now, let me share with you something absolutely fascinating.
Is it a tenant in there?
Sorry?
Is it a tenant?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And the visitor is not, I mean...
So the visitor is not. The visitor is not an owner. Yeah. Because a visitor has no ownership rights. You can turf out a visitor whenever you want. So it's absolutely fascinating machlokus between Rashi and the Rambam as to what is the din in totality of Erev Chatzeros. So first of all, what's the makor that there's such a halacha as Erev Chatzeros? So the Gemara in Chof Aleph on the base in Erevin explains how Shloima Melech was masakein gezeiros. Shloima Melech made many gezeiros. Now one of these gezeiros that Shloima Melech made was Erev Chatzeros. Says the Gemara, Shloima tikein Erev Chatzeros. Now, let me read out to you a Rashi. Rashi is defining what Erev Chatzeros is. Says Rashi, V'goza shloi lehoitzi m'shseyochid l'mshseyochid chaveiroi, laso siag v'archoko le'isa teura, shloi yovoi lehatim m'shusam rabim l'mshseyochid. Erev Chatzeros is that you can't go from your house into your friend's house. You can't go from one rishus into a different rishus. Again, these two rishus on a deraisa level are absolutely mutter because they are both rishus hayochids. And the prohibition of hoitzah on Shabbos is going from rishus hayochid to rishus harabim. So on a deraisa level, you're absolutely allowed to go from your house into your friend's house. However, because you are ultimately going from one rishus into another rishus, that in some way can be confused with going from rishus hayochid into rishus harabim, which is also going from one rishus into a different rishus.
You can go, you can carry.
Sorry?
You can carry.
When I say go, I always mean, sorry, excuse me. When I say go, I always mean carry. Therefore, therefore Chazal, Shloima Melech, forbade going from your house into someone else's house. Now, what's that got to do with Chotzer? Like this. Chotzer is a place of shared ownership. The basic gezeira is, let's say you have two houses absolutely adjacent to each other, where you don't pass through any public or a place owned by many people. You're literally going from your house into someone else's house. That is the absolute baseline gezeira, from your house to someone else's house. Now, a communally owned area, a chotzer, that is also going from your house into a house that is also owned by someone else. Can we see that? Going from my house into the chotzer. What was a chotzer in the times of Chazal? It was, let's say, you had five houses that surrounded a certain square. Now, all the owners of those five houses had ownership rights in that square. So, in a way, I am going from my house into someone else's house when I'm going into that square, because other people have also bailus in that, also have ownership rights in that square. So that is going from my house to someone else's house. And as Rashi said, that can be confused with going from one kind of Rishus, to i.e. Rishus Yochid, into another kind of Rishus, Rishus Harabim. And that is Rashi's definition of this new Gezeira of Shlomo HaMelech. Now, how do you fix this? How do you allow going from your house into Erev Chatzeres? Says Rashi in the beginning of B'chol Ma'arvim, the third perek, when the Mishnah is speaking about with what can you make an Erev, Rashi says that time of the Erev, the mechanics of Erev, Mishum de Daitoi v'dirosoi b'mokoim mezoinoisov hu. The explanation of how an Erev works is because people are, never was a truer statement made by a Rishon, people's thoughts are on their food. Erev Mishum de Daitoi v'dirosoi b'mokoim mezoinoisov. Your thoughts are, and where you view yourself living, are where your food is. Since everyone in the chotzer put food into one house, since everyone joined together and put their food into one house in of the chotzer, we're all joined, and we look at it as if we are all living in this house. And therefore, what are the mechanics? The mechanics are, we are going from our house into our chotzer. And therefore, you don't have this potentially confusing issue of going from my house into our chotzer. Again, I'll push the Rambam off for next week, because I don't want to rush it, but let's just sum up what Rashi's saying. We're discussing the Gezeira of Erev Chatzeres. Again, we're now post the Gezeira of Karmelis, which means we're up to four Rishuyos. There are four kinds of Rishuyos. There's Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, and a Mokom Ptor on a Deraisa level. And Chazal added Karmelis, which is similar to Rishus HaRabim. The malacha of Hoitzah is take an object from one type of Rishus, let's say Rishus Yochid, it's another kind of Rishus, let's say Karmelis or Rishus HaRabim. Now, in order that we don't come to transgress this malacha, Chazal said, any time where you're taking from one Rishus into another Rishus, i.e. from my house into my friend's house, that's similar to carrying from one kind of Rishus, i.e. Rishus HaYochid, into another kind of Rishus, Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, Shlomo HaMelech made this institution of Erev Chatzeres, that any time you are changing Rishus, you're not allowed to do that. How do you solve this issue? By everyone who is part of this Rishus putting food into one house, thereby making that one house ke'ilu, we all live in that one house, and therefore when I'm going from that house into a communally owned area, I'm not going from my house into our house. I'm going from our house into our house. Before I put bread in that house, I'm going from my house into our chotzer. But after I put bread in that house, I'm going from our house into our chotzer. And therefore, there's no shinui rishus. I'm not going from one kind of rishus into another kind of rishus. I'm going from the same rishus to the same rishus.
Sorry.
Yeah.
The chotzer is a rishus ayochit.
Yes.
Because it's mukav machitzes.
Right. Right.
Therefore, technically, without looking at the legal ownership,
yes,
I'm taking from a rishus ayochit, which is my rishus ayochit, to the chotzer, which is also my rishus ayochit.
Right.
What's the problem with that?
Because a chotzer is owned not just by you; it's also owned by other people. And therefore, even though it's not totally the other person's, but it's still somewhat the other person's, and therefore I'm taking from my house into your house. My domain into your domain.
Now I put
my Eruv into your house. What I'm doing is I'm going from our house into our chotzer.
So I've changed the status of the bayis, not the chotzer.
Exactly.
Precisely.
Sorry?
What is a communal part of a block of flats?
The same thing, it doesn't matter. Well, it doesn't matter what it's...
Can people own a flat in this building?
Yeah.
Who owns the staircase?
Oh, precisely. So that would be the modern definition of Erev Chatzeros, where the staircase would be the olden day square. Therefore, you're going from your flat into our staircase. That is a shinui rishus, which Chazal said is similar from to going from Shseyochid to Shseyorabim. And therefore, when you put a piece of bread into one of the flats, you're now going from our flat into our staircase, which is not a shinui rishus, and therefore cannot be confused with going from Shusha Yochid to Shusha Rabin.
Okay, the one, let's say I put bread in somebody's house. So I can go to his house. Yeah. But can he go come to my house?
Yeah, that was the problem. Yes. Right. Yes. Oh, right, that's what
the problem. Great. Yeah, very nice.